So as you can imagine, buckle up, because there's 27 promises surrounding us, so we're going to look at 27-point sermon, right? 27 different promises? Whew! Here we go. This morning, called this service God's Promises. And the reason why, a number of different reasons, but one in particular that I want to share with you this morning is a promise that really had been fulfilled in my life in this past season. As Tim mentioned in his prayer, this day typically has been a very tough one for myself. Father's Day had this feeling to it. I didn't really want to be around people on Father's Day. And slowly but surely, God really has begun to redeem this day, because he's redeemed and restored that relationship with my dad. I don't know if when you're younger, that maybe your dad and you did some things, maybe some promises were made. I know my dad, he played sports with me all the time. And I saw this illustration from another sermon, and I thought, well, my dad did the same thing. How many of you guys have ever had a dad, or maybe you are a dad, and you, for your kid, was a basketball hoop? And your kid would have the ball and would just start shooting. Sometimes it goes off your face, sometimes it's a swish. And then when you drop your arms, hey, dad, put your arms back up. You got to promise, man. You got to keep your arms up. You keep shooting hoops. And I remember for a long time, my dad would be that basketball hoop for me when I was a little kid. And I'd keep shooting hoops on this basketball. Another thing that dad and I did is I'd visit him on weekends, and on Saturday mornings, we would watch cartoons. My dad really liked a cartoon called Rocky and Bullwinkle. And so I would sit beside my dad and watch Rocky and Bullwinkle, and I always watched it sideways, because what I did is I would put my head on his lap and watch the cartoon sideways. But I really enjoyed that. I didn't really understand what was going on with the cartoon, but I was with my dad watching it. And I would hear him chuckle, and then, Dad, stop moving, man. I'm laying on you. We'd watch Rocky and Bullwinkle. But over the years, as I've lost some connection with my dad, I stopped thinking about those memories, those good times. And what started happening was I just started remembering the tough stuff. This past year, I had the opportunity to go into Freedom Session. And one of the things in Freedom Session, if my takeaway, my perspective, my opinion on it, is it's an opportunity for you to invite Jesus Christ into areas of your life that maybe you haven't invited him fully. See, I've put my dad's name down on a piece of paper numerous times. I've asked for forgiveness numerous times. But I don't know if I've actually sat there and said, God, I invite you into that relationship. I invite you to heal that relationship. The memories that I shared of this basketball hoop or me lying on his lap, God has begun to remind me of in a positive way. And how I see it is when I spend time with my boy. On Saturday mornings, we're sitting there. He puts his head on my lap and we watch Paw Patrol. He doesn't know that my eyes are welling up because I'm thinking about my dad and how I did that with him. But I'm sitting there and I'm getting weepy because I'm watching Chase and Marshall on Paw Patrol. And he's just sitting there lying on my lap chuckling because he loves it. And it's that moment for me where I think, wow, God, like, thank you for that little moment. Thank you for that I can remember that good thing about my dad. Thank you that even though my dad dropped his arm sometimes, I got to play basketball with him. Use his face as a backboard every once in a while. These promises that we're surrounded by, they're true. And in Scripture, there are pages upon pages, Scripture upon Scripture of God's promises. But I think it's important first for some context's sake. And the context is found, I want to go to Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 1, 19 to 20. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me and Silas and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him it was also being yes. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. So why is this context? Why is this important? See, a lot of the promises that you see around us today, they're Old Testament promises spoken to the Israelites. And what this is referring to is this new covenant that was made that we are the new Israel. And that these promises that were made to Israel are promises for us today. I don't know if you've been in a season of your life or you're entering a season or you're about to do something that is important, monumental, a milestone, or perhaps you're about to enter university. Maybe you're entering a relationship. Maybe you're going through a very tough circumstance. Maybe somebody in your family is dealing with an illness and somebody comes up with you with maybe a promise of God, a portion of scripture to encourage you. I've had that. And there's this one portion of scripture that keeps coming back to me. And that's Isaiah 41:10. It's on the walls around us. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed. I am your Lord. I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. A promise of God. A promise. When I was entering university, I had an adopted dad. His name's Chris. I've mentioned him many times before. And in my Bible, not this one actually, because my Bible got wrecked in the rain. Lauren bought me this new one. But in that Bible, he wrote to me that portion of scripture. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. When I got this job, I got a phone call from Chris again. And he said that portion of scripture to me one more time. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, I am your God, I will strengthen you. Why this portion of scripture is so powerful to me, one is somebody who was really important said it to me and spoke it into my life. And it was like them reminding me of, hey, get this portion of scripture. Keep it in your back pocket in times when you need some strength, in times when you're dealing with something that's tough. Let this be words of encouragement to you. I am with you. I will strengthen you. A promise of God. And he kept encouraging me with it. And why? Why? So that I would know it. So that when I'm in this job, when I'm facing a circumstance in my own life, I have something that I can fall back on and say, God's word is true. And in that truth, in that promise, he is with me. When I'm in the middle of freedom session and I'm going through some forgiveness of my father and it's a tough time, what am I looking to? My own strength, my own circumstance, how tough it might have been? Or am I looking to the author and perfecter of my faith, Jesus Christ? Hebrews 12:1-2, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders, and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. So many times, and this is the one nugget, this is the one point of the sermon, it's a one-point sermon today, is I've heard this portion of scripture over and over again, fix your eyes on the author and perfecter of faith. I think I've said it to you guys, or in youth, a few times. But how do I do that? Like, is the expectation that I'm walking around like this because I associate up with God and I just walk around with my head in the clouds? That's not what it means. So practically, what does that look like in our lives to fix our eyes on the author and perfecter of our faith? What does it look like? One practical way that I've found in my life is God's promises. Is by having a few promises in your back pocket that you memorize, that you know, that when you're stepping up to maybe the line in a really important game to serve the volleyball, or maybe you're in class and there's a big test and you're nervous and anxious, or maybe a friend is going through a really tough circumstance, or maybe a family member is in the hospital for the third or fourth time and you don't have answers, what do you fall back on? What does fixing your eyes on the author and perfecter of your faith look like in that moment? And in my back pocket, For me, I have Isaiah 41, verse 10. Don't be afraid, Randy. I am with you. Don't be dismayed. I am your God. And that promise, how beautiful it is that it has the word I. That God, the creator of the universe, is speaking to us individually, saying, I, God, am with you in your moment of need. I, God, am with you. And I think it's an opportunity. Even this morning, as we're surrounded by so many promises of God, that he'll fight for us, that he has compassion for all those who call upon his name, an opportunity that in the circumstances that we face, we have truth of God's promise to hold on to fix our eyes on, to say, God, in this moment, in this circumstance, I will be with you. It's the invitation. And what does that mean? It's to say that no matter what you face, where you're going, who's in your life, God is always God. And if we believe, if we make an active choice in our heart to say these promises that we see and so many more that we find in this word, if we believe that that is truth, that that is the word of God that we can stand on, that Luke 1:37, which is a promise that says, for no word from the Lord will ever fail. If that is a truth that we stand on, then the truth of the words that we memorize, the promises that we have in that back pocket, in that tough moment, or in that glorious moment, or when we get to celebrate together as a family, it's the truth that we can say, he is my God. I know this past year, there had been moments where I think I was looking too much on maybe a circumstance with my dad. Looking at it and only focusing on that and missing the opportunity to say, God, I invite you into that relationship. I invite you into that moment. I invite you into that feeling. I invite you into that tough thing. I invite you into those moments when I was on my dad's lap and we're having a good time. I invite you into the relationship that I've had with my dad. Because our God, the God that we have, that we hold on to, the God that's spoken and surrounds us this morning, is the God who, when he puts up the basketball hoop, his arms will not fall. He can hold it there forever. He's stronger. He's more powerful. He won't let go. He won't stop being that father who's always there. And I know one way where I get tripped up, one way where I have a hard time, is I think it's on my time. I hear a promise like he's always with me, or he'll give me the desires of my heart, or right now, you know, I really like that person, so, you know, I want to be in relationship with them. I want to be married and have kids, and we want it right now. And we're praying and be diligent. I want my friend to be healed. I want that relationship to be restored. And we think, now, God. And what we miss about God's promises is that it's on his time. It's on his time. They won't fail, they are true, but sometimes our time and his time, most of the time, doesn't really line up. What I thought about this morning when I was praying for our graduates and for the service is I've also gotten to know some of their grandparents. And I got to think, in Hebrews it talks about this great cloud of witnesses, the people who have gone before, and I thought, wow, God, it's them being here this morning and graduating, them finding faith in Jesus Christ, them making choices in their life, it very well could have been the fulfillment of generations past promises. That these are promises that have been prayed into for years, for generations. And I know that that is true in this community. That again and again, I see grandparents going to war for their grandkids, for their great-grandkids, or kids generations to come. And we think, God, we want it right now. But God says, man, right now is a day in eternity. But keep being faithful. Keep holding on to the truth that is my word. Keep it in your back pocket. And when that relationship goes south or that tough circumstance comes or you think everything's going right, and then in the back of your mind you thought something's going to come, what's next, God? And you hold on to the truth that is the word of God that surrounds us this morning. My encouragement for us all is this morning as you leave this sanctuary, take a portion of scripture. Look at a portion of scripture. Remember that portion of scripture and that promise. For God's word will not fail, for it is powerful and true and is what we can stand on, because he will not drop his arms. He will not drop his arms. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your words this morning. We thank you for your promises. We thank you that we have you to hold on to, that you redeem and you restore, that you build, that you're always there. Father, would we invite you into our lives? Would we invite you into the areas where maybe we haven't invited you before? And Father, when we face things in our future, would we find refuge in you? Would we find refuge in your words? We thank you that you are our God. We thank you that you will strengthen us, that we have nothing to be afraid of. We pray this in your name. Amen.